praise your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, God, you are good. God, your goodness is amazing, God. You have been good to us, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We give you honor, God. We give you praise because you are who you say you are, God. You are faithful and you are love, God. And you are mercy and you are grace, God. And you have redeemed us from our sin, God. We have eternal life in Jesus, our Lord. We have a hope, a destination we're going to go to. We will see God. We will see Him face to face. And all our faith will be sure. It'll be so seen, God. Oh, thank you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. I pray, God, in each of our hearts, in each of our lives, in our spirits this morning, God, that you will just strengthen us. We have decided to follow Jesus, and we don't want to falter. We don't want to waver, God. We don't want to get a little bit complacent or lukewarm, God. We don't want to turn to the left or the right or turn back, God. Holy Spirit, strengthen our lives again this morning. Take the word, your word, and just make it so real, so simple, so understandable to us, God. And each of us in our journey of faith, would you cause us to grow and to know that word for ourselves today? Oh, God, there's no one like you. Thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that we're your treasure, God. Oh, would you help us to make you our treasure, God? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, that name of Jesus. Oh, would you all together just declare that name? Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. What a name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody excited about Jesus in the place? Oh, got to be excited about Jesus. Look what he's done, eh? Wow. Look what he's done. I mean, you just have to look at me and you can see what God's done. Take these feeble little guys and, give them something to do. And God has touched your life, has he not? You all have a story. You all have a journey. And his praise is declared through your journey and through your story. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to continue to share his word this morning. For those that were not here last week, I just want to catch you up briefly. I went to Jasper and to the mountain areas in June, and God spoke a series for September, October into my life, and it's entitled Fresh. And it was basically targeting me and saying, Rich, you know, I want a fresh season for your life. And if you will allow me to touch your life and you allow me to transform you in this new season, then I too want to transform the church. I want to transform people's lives. I want people to experience me in a fresh way that they've not experienced before. And I believe that God has that desire for each of us. That in this place today, you can't look around at everybody else. You got to look at yourself and say, yes, God wants a fresh season in my faith and in my life in the days ahead. 2019 is slowly, it's fastly disappearing. You know, soon it'll be 2020. And God has a good season, a good word for your life. And you need to seek God and ask God for that word, that fresh word for you. You know, God told me to forget what was behind, press on to what's ahead. Doesn't mean you can't remember what's behind. It means you don't let the past dictate your future. Don't let it hold you back. And you know, it's okay to have an okay faith and just sort of be, you know, going along nice and smoothly. But God wants to grow in us, and God wants our faith to be a deeper faith. And so we can't stay the same. He wants to constantly be changing our lives. And so God wants us to press on to what's ahead in Him. What great plans, what great things does God have in store for your life? If you don't ask, if you don't seek, you're not going to find. But God has those things, and He wants to bless you and to develop your life and your faith. And God wants to use your life for His glory and His honor. It's also important that every one of us maintain a fresh faith. It's not like, my faith is kind of like, come see, come saw. Now, if you're French in here, you know what I just said, if I said it even close. But, come see, come saw, and so, I'm okay. You know, I think okay is okay, but God wants us to be really okay. You know, like He wants us to be vibrant in our faith, in our passion for Him. I like that climb that we made at Deep Cove there up the mountain. And as you heard last week, if you're here, I did it in flip-flops, which you're not supposed to do. But I survived. And I just want to remind us that if you stay on the ground floor, you know, if you stay at the bottom of the hill, you get to see exactly what's just around you, right? You get just that little bit of perspective of what's there. And when we were at the bottom of Deep Cove there in the little bay having our lunch on the wall, sure, you could see the mountains, you could see the water, you could see those around you, but really that's all you can see. But when we got to the top of the mountain onto the rock bluff and looked out, you could see so much more. And you know, that's faith. Faith is trusting God, believing in God, so that we will endure the climb in our faith, so that we get to see greater things and amazing things about God. But if you stay on the ground floor, you get so limited. But when you start to climb in faith and begin to pursue God, you begin to see amazing things that are so incredible and beautiful. And it's also a reminder to us that if you stay on the bottom, it's good to know that God's at the top, that you can trust that God has a bigger perspective of your life, that God has great things. He can see into your future. And it's good to know that we can trust that God knows and we can rely on Him and trust Him in our faith. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul tells the church there, you know what? You guys are, you're in faith. You're doing good. He says, but I would want you to excel even more. Don't stay the same. Don't just be satisfied with the status quo. Seek God, pursue God, knock on the door of heaven, and ask God for greater things with Him. And one essential thing, as I pointed out last week, was this. One essential thing for us, if we want a fresh start, if we want a fresh season, then it's got to be this one essential thing we have. And that's Jesus. And thank you, Lisa, for pointing that out to us this morning. We've got to have Jesus. You know, everything else is part of everything, but if we don't have Jesus, we've got nothing. If we want a fresh season, then we've got to go after Him. Jesus told us, you know, if you don't abide in me, if you don't abide in me, if you don't seek me, then you can do nothing. We need Him. And we need to develop our relationship with Him, our friendship with God. And we've got to pursue Him. Ask, because He answers. Seek. What did Jesus say? You're going to find it. Knock. Don't be as I often do. That's an okay knock. Knock! Pursue God. Go after Him. You need Him. I need Him. Give myself a little kick right now in my behind. You know, I just am reading right now my devotions. I started at the beginning of Revelation. And I've just read the seven churches, the letters to them. And always challenged by the Spirit of God's approach to these churches. And I take it very personal and very serious in my life when I read them. But I have just got to the end of chapter 5. Now, Revelation 4 and 5, can I suggest to you that even if you've never, if you're not reading the Bible right now, and can I say shame on you if that's you? But can you pick up your Bible this week? And can you go to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, all of us? And just meditate as you read on the majesty and the glory of Jesus. Get an understanding of how amazing he is. He's God Almighty. How could we compare ourselves to him? We can't. He is amazing. He's holy. He's so far above. And yet he loves us and calls us his own. Could you do that this week? Could you just take some moments to abide in his presence with his word and read those two chapters and just digest again this God you call your own? My thought for today is this, is that as God's people, when we understand and know Jesus, that today we need a fresh view of worship. A fresh view of worship. That's my thought today. You know, we sung some songs this morning, and most of us, when you hear the word worship, you reflect immediately to songs. That's what we dictate as worship. We also know that services, you know, Sunday morning are often called worship services. And so we got this immediate thing when we hear word worship, we immediately go to singing, to praise, to church, those kind of things. You know, we often will think that way, but you know that worship is not the songs that we sing. Worship is not the words that we would declare. You know, worship is not when I'm in my car or in my shower singing. You know, that's not worship. Have you ever heard me? No, you never heard me. You know, worship is not what I've just placed or haven't placed in the offering bag. Worship is not volunteering to be in the foyer greeting or in the sound booth or on the stage or ushering, teaching Sunday school. Worship is not that. You know, pastoring is not worship. Now, pastoring should be important to me, but it shouldn't be the most important thing. You see, what these are, and they're important things, but what these are acts or expressions of worship that I give to God. But they're not what true worship is. You see, they don't define what true worship is or what the priority of worship is. You see, even Jesus in Matthew, when he was talking to the Pharisees, said this about them: "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me." You see, it's not about what I'm saying or what I'm necessarily doing that define that I'm a worshiper. These are external actions that come from inside, but they're not true worship. They're not what Jesus described as worshiping in truth. You see, in order to worship in truth, you've got to know who you're worshiping. And you've got to know what it is and why you're worshiping this one. Matthew 7, even Jesus said, and it could be applied to me as a pastor, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did I not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I'll declare to them, 'I never knew you.'" You see, what it really comes down to when we talk about worship and having a fresh view of worship is really simple. It's a heart issue. It's my heart and the issues of my heart. Because have I loved God? And in loving God, do I submit to his authority in my life? Because if I do, then I truly understand what worship really is. It's not always the external stuff, although those things are fantastic. God appreciates when we sing. God appreciates when we speak of him. God appreciates when we volunteer and we minister and serve one another. God loves those things. But it needs to be done straight forth from the heart, where your heart is completely in love with Jesus and you're surrendering your life and committing your life to Him. Because out of that comes these external things and offer praise to God. I think we need a fresh view of what worship really is, and that in our hearts we would set apart Christ as Lord, afresh and anew. You know, even Webster in his dictionary, way back when it first sort of come out the first few years, when you get the word worship in his dictionary, this is what it said. It said, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. I think that about says it all. You know, that we would love God, you know, extravagantly, and that we would be incredibly submissive to Him and to the Spirit of God. Mark 12 tells us this, the great commandment from Deuteronomy, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. To me, it's a great picture of worship. That would be the driving force of our faith and of our life, that we would love God, as this word tells us, with all my heart. Not with a part, not just sort of segregating God here and there. You know, I'm with Him here, I'm not here. No, with all my heart. That is worship. That I would give God my complete heart, and that I would do it with all my soul, with all that is within me. I would give my life to Him. And with all my mind. You can't do that if you don't open His Word and let the Word of God define your mind and your thoughts and give you the strength to know Him. And with all my strength. All my strength. Let me just stop there for a moment. Some of you are pretty strong. You know, Don could crush me. But you know what? We don't have the strength that God has, right? So when you're talking about loving God with all your strength, what are you doing? You've learned to rely completely on His strength. That's all your strength. Because you don't have enough and I don't have enough to get through. But when God's strength becomes our strength, then we're doing it with all our strength. All means to be the whole. It means completely. It means that no part of my life should be untouched by Jesus. I should be the same guy in front of you here on Sunday morning. If I truly worship God, I'll be the same guy in my home. I'll be the true guy in my neighborhood. I'll be that same guy when I'm at the Prince George Cougars doing my hockey volunteering. I'll be the same guy in my school. Guy means guy and girl. You know, it doesn't matter where we are, we're the same person because Jesus has completely impacted every part of our life. And we've allowed the Spirit of God to do that. That is complete, truthful worship. Luke 9, Jesus gave us this teaching. It says, if anybody wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what does it man profit if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? My worship is to pursue God because He loved me. But boy, if I don't surrender my life in worship to Him, do I want to take my eternal destination into chance? Do I want to maybe forfeit the end game, the prize, just because I need to be more comfortable here today in my life? just because I might be a little embarrassed about my faith, just because I'm just so distracted or busy. You see, true worship is understanding the importance of our faith. It's getting a fresh view of God in my life and how He impacts all areas of my life. And it understands that eternity, heaven, my relationship and seeing Him face to face with joy later on is far more important than some of the comforts I put into my life here today. Romans 12 says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. We surrender our lives, we give our lives to God and allow God to use us. You know, the word worship came into prominence in the 1300s. It was a contradiction of two words, worth and ship. You see, it meant to ascribe or declare the worth of something or to place value in the thing being honored. See, in other words, we ascribe to God and we declare the worth of Him. And we place value on Him. It's not just about the words. It's about my whole life declaring His greatness and the value that I placed on Him. True worship is the valuing or a treasuring of God above all things. That's why Jesus taught us to seek first His kingdom and all the other things will be added to you because life is full of stuff. We got to care for our households and we've got to do our work. We've got to go to school. You know, we've got to do the things that we do in our lives. But those things should never be first. The first thing should be God and seeking after Him and His righteousness in my life. And then all these other things will flow properly the way they should. But they will never take over number one when He is put first. Luke 14, Jesus taught, if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Those are pretty straightforward words. I want it right known for the record. I love my mom. She's awesome. She's always been awesome. She's just the most amazing woman in the world. I could never hate her. And Jesus is asking me to hate her. No, He's not. That's not what Jesus is asking. The Semitic expression that Jesus is meaning is that loving less. Is that unless I love my mom less than Him, I can't be His disciple. Because Jesus knows when I put God first in my life, when I honor Him above everything, that all those other things will find their honor in my life. That I will learn how to honor my mom when I honor Him first. It's just the way it works that when God is first in our life, everything begins to make a little bit more sense. And we need a fresh view again of what it is to worship Jesus is to place Jesus above everything else in my life. A complete commitment to Christ. You know, our worship sometimes can be defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives and where God is in our list of priorities. That's an interesting thing to think about. Most of us would say unequivocally that God is the highest priority in my life. But if you start to break down your life and what's really important to you in your life, you begin to understand where God is. Now, I'll take a stab at one example. Stewardship. Let's go stewardship of money. Do you trust God with your money, with your resources? With your life, your necessities? Do you tithe and give God 10%? Sometimes that shows you the priority of your life. Do I really trust God? Do I really place Him first? Do I really understand that God cares for me and will take care of me no matter what? Knowing I should read the Word of God, knowing that the Spirit of God has asked me to read His Word, and I won't find, you know, some time to set aside for him, then is really Jesus the priority, the top priority in my life? You know the questions and the things to look at in your own life. Can you sort of make an evaluation of your life and what you do and what you hold dear in your life? And can you put Jesus at the top of that list and say that unequivocally, he is definitely the highest priority above all these things? It's a great thing to consider, a great thing to think about. So why do we worship God? Do I worship God because what he can give me? What I can get from him? Or do I worship God because simply he's God? I understand who he is. He's God. He deserves my worship. Period. Do you want a fresh view of worship in your life today? Do you want a deeper understanding of what really your life is all about in giving God worship? Because God is very interested in answering your questions and your desires and your call. We need a fresh view of worship in this day and age. What it really means to worship God in truth. Knowing who he is, understanding who he is, and then giving our love and our commitment to him completely. That's a fresh view of worship. And God, this morning, in this place, whenever we call to a greater commitment or a complete giving of our lives to you and making you the top priority and value and treasure in our life, God, it can be a very uncomfortable time for some of us. Because deep down inside, I know that we know these things. And it's not that we don't even want to be like that. But sometimes things take over, become a higher priority or a driving force in our life, or sometimes it's just the fear of the unknown. It's a fear of what